Scorpions Avenue. Small doses.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and them seals.
It's so funky.
So there was all types of conversation last week around relationships, and that was pretty much triggered by the IG live that DaBaby did of him and his DaBaby's mother, artist Danny Lay. And it was a very toxic setting that we were all globally let into. Him antagonizing his child's mother, calling her names. She also did not want to put the baby on social media, but their child. Sorry, if I say DaBaby, then you think I'm talking about the baby. She didn't want to put their child on social media, and to continue to antagonize her, he then not only put their child on social media by putting the video camera, by putting the phone towards them during an IG live, but did so while Danny Lay was feeding the child. And I think there's there was a lot of conversation around it just by nature of the fact that, you know, the voyeurism of letting everybody in, but also about what is narcissistic behavior. I think for a lot of us who have dealt with narcissists, and again, narcissists can be male, female, non-binary. It is definitely not something that is simply relegated to men. But I will say that this society 100% supports and promotes narcissism amongst men because it is ingrained in toxic masculinity. I think for those of us who have experienced a narcissist, we saw that IG live and we're like, oh, this is a narcissist doing a discard. And the discard is when narcissists, by nature of who they are, they decide that you don't matter anymore and they will discard you like a piece of trash. And in doing so, they will use anything against you that they have learned throughout your time together. They will mock you. They will antagonize you. And for what it's worth, they will make sure that you are presented as the bad guy to not only make themselves look good, that's narcissism, but also to make their self-sabotage feel warranted. And I know that DaBaby is not the only narcissist. I just am using him as an example because this was put on such grand display. And so I wanted to bring up this episode, Side Effects of Narcissism, with Candace Thompson, because I do think it's an ongoing and really revelatory issue for a lot of people to realize that they have been in the snares of a narcissist, or to identify that they may have some narcissism within themselves that they need to adjust. And in this episode, we really get to the bottom of different forms of narcissists, the ways in which they operate, the ways in which codependence can get pulled into their grasp, and also the ways in which society continues to perpetuate narcissists amongst us. You know, in America, I just feel like this country itself is a narcissistic culture. It lacks accountability, as we see literally with the efforts to ban teaching about racism from schools, even though it is an actual thing. It's actual. There is an attempt currently to ban the teaching of actual things that have happened because it is uncomfortable, because it makes people feel not happy about themselves and their history. And that right there to me is a complete signifier of the narcissism of this American culture. And I don't just mean white American culture, because there are people of all races, ethnicities within the American melting pot that support this fucking bullshit. But again, narcissism a lot of times shows up in its most impactful way amongst our romantic relationships. It's not to say that you can't have narcissistic parents. It's not to say that you can't have narcissistic coworkers and bosses and friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that a lot of people feel it the most outside of a child-parent relationship in their romantic relationships. And I wanted to air this episode because there was so much conversation on these interwebs that I felt was truly misinformed, a lot by people who may not recognize the ways in which they have now come to basically support really dysfunctional and harmful and oftentimes abusive behavior simply because it's the only thing that they've experienced, and also because society has told them that that is simply normal. It's expected. It's not. And in the exposing of the narcissist as a identity that exists in our society, in giving people the language to be able to identify certain things like breadcrumbing, certain things like discarding, et cetera, you are able to identify that this is what is happening. And in that case, you can then identify how you can excise yourself from that situation versus continuing to be a victim of it. So I wanted to play this episode in the hopes that maybe it would enlighten some of you all to not only hopefully get out of situations that you might be in or stop scenarios that you are causing, but also give you some insight into how you might be perpetuating the ways in which these behaviors continue to show up in our society without being checked by the way you respond to narcissists and how they show up in our society on social media. So, without further ado, here is me and my friend Candace Thompson with Side Effects of Narcissists.
This is an episode that is long overdue. I've referred to this, I've made allusions, I've spoken directly saying people's names, but it is time that we burrow into
Side Effects of Narcissists.
Yeah. It's gonna be a real one. And I didn't want to approach this realness by myself. So, today's guest is my good friend and comedian and very common narcissist run into her, Candace Thompson.
Hey, Mans.
Hey, Cans. To be honest, I didn't really truly know like the full scope of narcissists and narcissism until I met you and you put me on game because Candace is a researcher at heart. And when she bumps up against something that doesn't really like fully make sense, she goes into the crevasse. She dives deep into the crevasse, by the way, is one of my favorite episodes of 30 Rock, just so we're clear. and it's a great episode where Jack Donaghy is trying to figure out like how is he going to get them out of this whole government buyout situation that Will Arnett has now like sucked them into. And he's talking to Liz Lemon and he's like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, I mean, you can't back out. You got to just commit even more. And he was like, oh, I know what I have to do. I have to go deeper into the crevasse. And she explains, I feel like there's like an explanation of a story where like some people get like buried in an avalanche and instead of digging their way out up, mm-hmm. they have to dig down
deeper
into the crevasse. And that's how they get free.
Is a crevasse just a bigger crevice?
I mean, I feel like crevasse is just a French word for crevice.
Oh, maybe.
Because it's definitely spelled A-S-S-E.
It's similar, right? Crevasse. The spelling is similar. It's the
crevice is I-C-E. Crevasse is A-S-S-E. Which makes me feel like it's French.
It is. We have no knowledge of whether that's true or not.
We could research it.
We could.
But we're focused right now.
On narcissists.
Correct. So, Candace is going to join us for the entire episode because her knowledge on this topic eclipses mine, and I speak merely from experience-based knowledge, and Candace has experiential, but also
YouTube videos
and literature.
And yes,
I've read books.
Yes. Absolutely have.
So the reality is both of us are empaths, so we attract narcissists by nature of, one, the fact that we are open vessels, so they're attracted to that, and two, we're givers. Not to be confused with healers, which is a weird title that people give themselves without people giving it to them.
Without any qualifications.
If you ever hear me refer to myself as a healer or as a guru, I want you to find me.
I'm going to be like Amanda starting a cult. And I'd kind of join. I would join. I'm not going to lie. I would join. I don't think you'd be a weird sex cult one.
No, I would not. It'd be a lot of music.
Yeah. I feel a lot of choreography would be, yeah.
Yes, there would be mandatory choreo. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving us joviality right now. We're very jocular, mm-hmm. because it's going to get serious.
It is.
And it's going to get real. And it's going to get uncomfortable because during this episode, you're going to realize that people in your life are narcissists. Ooh. And it's going to force you to have to make some decisions.
Some of y'all going to have to move out your houses.
Some of y'all, yes. Some of y'all going to have to hide your wife, hide your kids. Okay. And you're, it's because it's a shocking thing when it comes upon you, because it also can be very liberating because you're like, oh my God, I hadn't even considered this, but this situation has seemed like just nonsensical for so long. And now here is somebody giving me even just a seedling of insight into something that I have always felt mystified by. So strap in, brace yourselves. It's gonna be an emotional ride. Let's drop a gem. Jam dropping. Jam dropping. Jam dropping. We're dropping on these hoes. All right, here we are. A gem drop. Listen close. Today's gem drop is narcissism versus narcissist. Now, these are important distinctions because narcissism is a certain level of, how would you put it? It's a certain level of self love that is a bit extreme. Can we say that?
Narcissism, self-love that is extreme. It's
versus
more of a-
being a narcissist, which is a pathological way of living that is completely outside of self-awareness.
Should I be talking?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if this was like the monologue portion.
No. Because narcissism is something that you have to have some of.
Of course.
You can't be completely devoid of narcissism. Basically, in my opinion, narcissism is the nerve. It's you having the nerve to believe that you can do something or be something beyond the limitations that society may press on you. So, like, I have to have a certain level of narcissism to believe that I can get on stage and tell these jokes.
For sure. For sure. Everyone that is in what we do in our industry, to believe, to actually believe. And there's a little bit of delusion that's also tied in with that. Because 100%. You're like, because literally what we're saying we're going to be successful at is like a football player being like, yeah, I'm going to make it in the NFL. Like, you sound crazy. Because what are the odds? But we're both like, kind of like you, for sure.
Whoa.
You, like, for sure. I'm still, you know.
Shut up.
I'm doing things. I'm doing big things. All right?
I'm in these streets.
I'm in these streets. All right? But for us to have the nerve to think that we want us, that the people that we're in front of right now are going to listen to what I have to say and they're going to laugh at it.
It's really like, who do you think you are?
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah. When I was in third grade, I told my teacher I wanted to be the first Black female president of the United States of America. And she was like, she sent a note home saying Amanda is overconfident, needs to pursue more realistic goals. I just had
that's hilarious.
A healthy level of narcissism that said to me, you can go beyond, you love yourself enough to believe in yourself beyond the belief of other people.
But which is, first of all, I would like to point out, like, what you just said is kind of unheard of. Like, first of all, being a Black girl, right? Like, they don't tell us those are attainable things.
Correct.
So the fact that
she kept on with that.
And she did. And she literally said to your mother.
No, ma'am.
This is unreasonable. Your daughter's unreasonable, right?
She better start trying to be a nurse.
So, like, the fact that you had that in you from when you were that young. Like, I didn't have that in me when I was that young. I don't have it in me now to think, oh, I can be the president. I'm still, that's something that I struggle with regularly is like my confidence level. But I, at the same time, you can still have like that as something that you're working on, but you can also still have, be on the spectrum of having some narcissism.
Well, I think that
they're not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive. I mean, I remember when I had to have the conversation with myself about social media and deciding like, okay, you're going to commit to utilizing your social media to advance your career. And the biggest situation that was holding me back was the reality that I was going to have to exercise a certain heightened level of narcissism.
For sure.
Because so much of social media is simply about you demonstrating to the masses the love of yourself.
And what you can do. You're talking to a camera.
Yes.
Just you. Yeah.
And you got to love yourself on like, And I think it's maybe not, love is not even the word. It's like admire. You have to like admire yourself.
Yourself. It sounds.
It sounds, that sounds trash.
That sounds insane.
It sounds
insane.
Like you're literally trying to suck your own dick.
What are you
you're
doing
like,
right
can
now?
I do
I'm
it?
Just admiring myself.
There's a vanity to it.
For sure.
And so you have to have a certain, but it's like there's got to be a certain dose of that in order for you to not let the self-doubt and the insecurity and the suppression of like society constantly saying like, no, you can't, no, you can't, yeah. no, you can't. I think that that's part of like privilege as well, has a lot of narcissism built into it. Now, narcissists take this beyond a tool and it is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's beyond a trait and it's the sum of their parts. And narcissists ultimately believe that the admiration that we're talking about that you have to have in terms of a dose of admiration for narcissism, they ultimately believe that everybody has that admiration for them.
Right. And if they don't, their job is now to convince that person that they do. Try and get that person. It validates them. They constantly need it. So if there's one person who doesn't think that about them, they focus on that person to try and make sure that that person will end up praising them.
Now, here's where, because I know some people are listening and they're like, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, a lot of us want people to like us. It's that they will do whatever it takes.
Manipulation, lies. Lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gaslighting.
I was going to say, and also making you feel like you're their best friend and so they can trust you. They'll build a trust with you so that you actually feel like, oh, this is like someone I'm close to. And that's part of the manipulation. And so you then start to feed into it is whatever their goal is, whether you know it or not. Most of the time you don't, because they're tricky bastards.
They are. They're tricky bastards. And I think that, you know, there's a reality to the fact that this is still a new part of common lexicon.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like the narcissist label has been a part of psychology and sociology, but I think within like the zeitgeist of just regular folks, it's definitely new. And
social media
has absolutely also shone a light on like, this is what a narcissist looks like. And I hopefully with this type of conversation that we're having on this podcast today, and I talked about it on my social media, helps you shine a light on like, oh, that's what a narcissist looks like. Or like, am I being a narcissist? Am I a narcissist? I think there's a rule of thumb that says if you can recognize you're a narcissist, you're probably not a narcissist.
You're probably not, because there's a level of self-awareness that's there that is lacking in true narcissists. They do. I've called a narcissist to his face, and a sociopath as well. And then in not a nice way, like, how do you say that? You can't. Like, right. I was like, oh no. I literally said to this person, he's an actor, of course. I said,
yeah.
Oh no. Cause we got into an argument and he was saying some crazy shit. And I said, oh no, you're a sociopath. And which is, we can talk about sociopathy because there's a fine line. They're all on a spectrum. But he also was a narcissist, but I called him a sociopath. And then within like a month or, and I said, we need a break. I can't talk to you. We need some space. He texts me like a month later. Hey, can we hang out again?
See, this is what I don't do. I recently just had this situation with somebody who I wouldn't necessarily say that they are a narcissist or a sociopath, because I feel like they are more muted. But then you start to realize that it comes in all different shapes and sizes and colors and techniques.
Oh.
And it's not always people who are outwardly like problematic. And I think that's what people are thinking. People feel like if the person isn't somebody that's like egregious and gregarious and, you know, really out here like showing their ass, it's like, oh, well, they must not be a narcissist. But I think that we have to understand that there's different levels and there's different versions.
Absolutely.
And then you have to figure out, is this narcissism or is this someone who's a full-blown narcissist?
Right.
And
it's tricky.
It's very,
Who
very
has
tricky.
The time?
Nobody.
Luckily, I do. Luckily, I have done the research for all of you. So you just listen to this podcast and you'll be fully vetted to know whether or not you fucking with a narcissist.
I think that for ourselves, we can value narcissism as this little extra level of like, it's like a power boost. It's like that turbo, you know, when you would be playing Outrun at the at the arcade, and you'd be like driving. You're driving with the steering wheel, and then they're like turbo, and you could be like, you know, and that's like what pushes you past. Like that's what narcissism is. It's just this little turbo boost to your ego to get you over the hump of the self-deprecating blocks that we have to do what you need to do.
Right.
And like you said, sometimes it is delusion. Sometimes it's definitely like, I know that the odds are against me. However, I'm gonna bet on myself, see how this turns out. A narcissist is somebody who lives in that space at all times and is willing to disrupt your space in order to preserve theirs.
Yep.
When
you interact with other people and you're hurting people through that for your own self-preservation,
yes,
that's when it becomes a level of it's detrimental and what you need to watch out for sure.
I think we need to get in some DMTs. Yeah. Yeah. Kettle's blowing.
I'm a little teak. Can you whistle?
I can whistle.
I cannot. Of course you can whistle. Get out of here. I hate her.
That's a lie. And the narcissist in me knows it's a lie.
I have a skill. I have a skill that's not whistling. Can I
demonstrate, please? Very scary. How did you even find that? This is very disturbing. Oh my God, your mouth is not moving. But how did you discover this?
I discovered this in eighth grade. I want to give a shout out to these white girls that I went to junior high with who lived in Glendale, Stacey Rearman, Bridget Meyer. I think there may have been one other one. They started doing it. And then I was like, what the fuck
what
are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm literally saying girl with my mouth closed. Girl, girl, girl,
girl, girl, girl, girl, girl, girl.
I know it's terrifying. Practice it. Did I find the one thing that Amanda can't do?
You know I can't find
a man. Is that what we did?
You know I can't find a man.
I can't either. But, okay, there's two things. But that's also not your fault. That's on them.
This is why we're friends.
Niggas got us fucked up.
They do. They do got us fucked up. Candace and I are part of team Can't Let These Niggas Live.
We came up with that. That was together. That was so good. What were we talking about?
Misspellings in text.
Oh, yeah. Shutting them down.
Couldn't let them live.
And they don't like being called out when they're wrong. Correct. And that's kind of what we are professionals at.
Can't let them live. excuse me. There's an apostrophe there. Sorry. That is the singular, and we are referring to the plural of woman. Yeah, just a side note. I need us to all get that ironed out. I don't want to see nobody else saying you're a very smart woman.
You are very smart women.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That's not correct.
You are a very smart woman. No, I'm a very smart woman. Whoa, man. Whoa, man.
Also, it's she mine, was not mines.
She go.
That's mines. No, it's not.
It's mine.
Mine.
And it's also, I am sorry for your loss, what? Not your lost.
Oh, no.
Sorry for your lost? Oh, that's out here. Rampant.
You know what else is out here?
Bless you.
Every since. Have you ever heard anyone say, every since I was a little kid? No.
I had someone say to me verbally, congrats.
With a D?
And I was like, how do you spell congrats?
With a D.
And he was like, with a T? C-O-R.
Well, then why?
I was like, then why are you pronouncing it congratulations? He's like, I don't know.
Idiot. That's my favorite word.
Idiot.
Idiot.
DMT, we're serving it.
We toyed with doing Side Effects of Being Light Skinned, y'all. We toyed with it. But I was like, you know what? Too many irresponsible people will take things out of context.
For sure.
And ignore, like, the nuance and context of the conversation in favor of creating some type of false controversy.
Absolutely.
That only furthers the problematic nature
the
of
separation.
Colorism. But we digress.
Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
So let's get into some DMTs.
Yes.
People have questions, and you've got answers. First question. I grew up in the wake of MySpace, 13 years old. I struggle with vanity and a little bit of self-centeredness. I relate everything to myself. I thought I was like this because I'm an only child, holla, and because of that reason, I learned to like/love myself a lot. I also think I'm super smart, because I am. But seriously, how much is too much? How do I know I'm not the narcissist? Well, you do sound like you've got a healthy dose of self-love. That's for damn sure.
Which is good.
I think that the key to knowing you're not the narcissist is your intentions. You know, I think that there's a certain level of, like, you might be self-centered.
Yes.
You sound like you're self-centered. You may lack a certain level of self-awareness. There's nothing wrong with saying you're smart if you actually are smart. There's nothing wrong with saying, like, I love myself and I want the best for myself. However, it becomes being a narcissist when you are willing to put other people at risk emotionally, mentally, physically for the preservation of your feeling of self-love for yourself. Yep. Would you agree?
I would 100% agree. But also, again, like you said, if you're asking, you're probably not. So, like, the fact that she's even, or is it a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that she's even asking is like you're aware that there could be a problem, which, again, narcissists are not aware at. They're not going to.
And even, but you know what they do?
Inquire.
But you know what they do?
What?
They feign awareness.
Oh, they're good.
You'll call them out and they will feign awareness.
Absolutely.
And I had a therapist who used to call it, basically, I can't think of the exact words, I'll find it, but it's like small, like, gratifications to keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like crumbs, essentially. And mm-hmm. so, like, they'll give you just enough to keep you on the hook.
For sure.
And then they go back to doing what the fuck they were doing. And so you end up in a cycle.
Of just being like, yeah, because you start to doubt. But then you'd be like, but they said this or they did this. So I'm
so
good. So we're good.
Yes.
But yeah. But no. But then they do that fuck shit again. And you're like, wait a second. But then they say the right things again. Oh. But all, you know, I was just thinking about this person who just sent that question. They could be reaching out just for the attention of this being on this pod, you know what I'm saying? Like, which is also something to be aware of. Like, this person could just be doing this for attention. Not saying that is why, but if you are a full-blown narcissist, that is some shit you would do. You just want attention for yourself, so you'd ask a question that you really aren't concerned about at all, just for the attention of it.
Right. You're not really concerned about if you're the narcissist. You're more concerned about, look at me, they're talking about me on the episode about narcissism.
Absolutely.
About narcissists.
Tricky bastards.
It's really tricksy. It's hard to nail down. I think the key in acknowledging it is the level of toxicity that comes from the behavior. I think sometimes it's like, well, maybe this is just somebody who's like difficult, or maybe we're just incompatible. And that's fair. But I think when you start to see the manipulation happening, mm-hmm. that's when you have to really be like, okay, what is this?
Yeah.
Manipulation and gaslighting. The gaslighting is really, like, the key component that I want to make sure that we talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say explain, because I'm sure people don't even know what that, which I...
Gaslighting is essentially making somebody think that what is actual and factual is not actual and factual for the preservation of the lie that they're telling you about themselves. So I had a situation with Tajay from Souls of Mischief where...
It never gets old.
It never gets old because it's a fact. And then every time Rebecca and Brendan look at each other and are like, fuck, is this going to be the time where he calls in? Is this going to be the time?
Tajay, if you're listening, please call in.
At 555, no dice. So the situation was he had wild out on me. I'll at least give him the respect of not disclosing the reason why. but he had no reason to wild out on me. And he was screaming at me and telling me that I'm crazy and that I'm a weirdo and that I'm selfish and that all I care about is myself. This is all happening on my birthday, by the way. And all of this mayhem madness. And, you know, it, when someone gets to that level of mania, it makes you, if you're lucky, you have a self, you have like a kill switch.
Yep.
That brings you down because you got to like mellow to manage their mania. So I got things down to I eventually got him back to the middle. And a month later, after everything had fizzled, and of course, in true narcissist fashion, he had to come back to try and act like the good guy, you know, the false apology, just so that we can, you know, just so it's like they burn the bridge.
The breadcrumb.
It's the breadcrumb, yes. And they burn the bridge, but always are like, wait, no, let me build it back. They keep trying to build the bridge back that they are burning over and over and over again.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, to be honest, I feel like you're unaware of the way that you behave, and like the way that you spoke to me was very abusive. And he was like, you are bugging, you are wilding. That is taking things too far. And it's just not taking things too far. You were mentally abusive and you were emotionally abusive in that space, and it made me concerned that you would eventually become physically abusive. And so I'm just telling you this because it seems like you lose conscience. It was almost as if you became another person. So I'm like, maybe you aren't aware, so I'm putting you on game. And he was like, I never yelled at you in a hotel room.
Can I tell you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I tell you that one of the books that I read, which is, it's called What Makes Narcissists Tick. It's online. It's free. It's a PDF. One of the titles of the chapters is They Act As If Nothing Happened.
No, he was like, you are wilding.
Yep.
I never yelled at you. You're making that up. That is not how things happened. And then was like, what about you yelling at me? What are we talking about?
That did not happen.
That didn't happen.
Gaslighting. That is the definition of gaslighting.
And that was the first time that I ever recognized it.
Yep.
And then it made me go back.
Like, oh, snap.
And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, and you just start to see, like, times that you dealt with that in other relationships, times you dealt with that in your childhood.
Yep.
Family members.
Yep.
Friendships.
Can we talk about how Shaggy had a whole song that was gaslighting that we never even paid attention to? It wasn't me.
I saw you fucking
on the counter. It wasn't me. You're literally telling me something I saw with my own eyes did not happen, and we dancing in the club to it. Just how irresponsible so many artists are. Like,
well, they don't even know. I think, but to actually, in their defense, this is a part of patriarchy.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that a lot of guys don't even think there's anything wrong with that, because it's like, it's just self-preservation to a toxic level. That's what narcissism is. So it's like, if it means making you feel crazy to get me out from under.
Oh, well.
Hey.
You were just a casualty, but that ain't got shit to do with me. Like, what? You just trampled on my whole entire life. My life is destroyed. And that's what narcissists do. If you get involved with one to the point where you get married, have a family, They could potentially destroy your life and walk away, light a match, set your whole shit on fire, and they will walk away as if nothing happened.
They go Angela Bassett in A Waiting to Exhale.
But
your
she
life.
Knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing.
And he deserved it.
Maybe I deserve. Next question. How can a person cope with narcissistic family members?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Boundaries. Boundaries is the key. I think the reality is that, you know, the nuance of this question is that when it's a family member, you can't get rid of
them.
You
can't leave. Right.
So how do you manage that? You know, and listen, that exists in parents, your brothers, your sisters, like people that are a part of your life. And once you recognize it, you're like, fuck. I had a therapist tell me that the key is not letting yourself get caught up in their storm. And that's what a boundary is, you know, that you have to have a certain distance from them that you are preserving so that you're not getting swept into their tactics of upholding, you know, their narcissistic tendencies. And I think that's the tough part, because you want to be able to like be honest and be open and be
and have a relationship
and have a relationship and an exchange. But it's not equity. It's not equitable.
For sure. Like with that one guy, the actor that I talked about that said some crazy shit to me. And I was like, oh, no, you're a sociopath. Like, this is somebody who I had dated And it was hard for me because we were friends first. We were friends for like 3 years before we started dating. And
in
then
hindsight,
that's when
were you really friends?
Friends where it's, you know how you have friends where you go out a lot and have great fun times with, but yeah, you've never gone deeper
below
than
the
that.
Surface.
Right. And then so I, when we tried, that's what happens when you date someone, you become intimate, you have to go below the surface. And so I was like, that.
I just went through this.
It's, and now we know, so hopefully it's not going to have to happen again, but you know, it's a repetitive thing that happens out here in this. I'm telling you, LA is, I was watching one of my YouTube videos that I do regularly. And there was a doctor on it, and when she said out of her mouth, when the first sentence she said,
video.
Yep, she said, if you want to study turtles, go to the Galapagos. If you want to study narcissists, move to LA. That was a
we
quote.
Are the Galapagos of narcissism. Shit.
It's true. And so you're gonna come, but again, once you know, you know. And then it's like, oh, you see the red flags. Like when I dealt with this guy, was it lasted a 3 week relationship once we started dating, because I had dated one prior to that. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
From years ago. So I know the red flags. And I know when you say some crazy shit to me, I'm like, oh, you have a personality disorder.
So what are some red flags? Because I think that when we apply it to just romantic situations, I think it's a lot easier for people to feel like they can determine like a red flag. But just in general, what are some red flags? Because I think that this applies to the family scenario.
Yeah, yeah. A huge, well... Before
I know one.
I was gonna say, I know love bombing is one, but I don't know in a family situation if this would apply.
Continue.
Love bombing is when they pretend to be all about you immediately. Like within the first month of you meeting this person, they're saying things like, I love you, I want to move in with you, I can't wait to I can see a family with you. That's way too soon to be saying, you don't know me. But as women especially, that's, we've been trained to think, oh, these are stuff that a good man would say. This is what a guy who's really into me would say. So I can trust this guy. And this is the one.
Do you think it's tricky when you've known the person in a certain capacity for a certain amount of time, and then you are now stepping into a romantic space, and it's harder to determine? Because I feel like I have been the victim of that, because in my mind, I'm like, well, you've already known me in this space. So if you're stepping into this new space, it's because you're intentional and you know, like, I've already observed you in this space and I'm stepping into this space because I know that I want to fuck with you and I love you, etc.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one, because that's actually kind of what
exactly, that's why I brought it up.
Right. So it's like, yeah, you initially think, oh, this is the person who I've been friends with for so-and-so, like, and obviously they're really into me because we've known each other for 3 years. Maybe he's really just realizing that I'm the one for him and he wants to take it to a new level. But no, again, you have to remember that it's also, that is still about them. Like, they're not even considering you. And it is possible for that to be the case, even though you've known this person. Because how well can you truly know somebody? You don't. Even people who've been married for 20 years
and then murdered.
I'm married to a serial killer. What are you talking about? Right? There are people.
Like, I thought you were at soccer practice with Daphne and you were over here murdering somebody.
You got second families that I didn't know about.
My sister's convinced my father has a second family. Convinced.
Our guts be knowing.
Convinced. We can't account for his time. Convinced.
I watched a movie one time, I think it was on Lifetime, and the father had two families, and when he was with one family, he would wear his hair curly. That was his disguise. And then when he come back to his other family, he would straighten it.
Oh, wow.
He was like Clark Kent, Superman.
Exactly.
But yeah, that is a thing that they could do, and that's a hard one, because you're like, oh, I thought I knew this person. It don't matter, because again, you don't fully know someone. You only know what they let you see of them.
The conversation about narcissism becomes really frustrating, because even though we're going to give you red flags, they're not just so concrete where you're like, oh, ta-da, like you have to have your eyes peeled. And right. I said this on an episode before. Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist, says, trust everyone but never sell your sword. And so that's the thing. It's like the only way you can actually kind of find out if someone really is what they are or not is having a certain level of trust for them to reveal themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where you kind of like are putting yourself in a conundrum.
So test the water. You can test the waters with, if you have any inkling that someone might be, which you would if they like talk about themselves a lot. You remember how you were telling me, Amanda, you had a situation with a dude and they had done something that they needed to apologize for. And in that apology that he was giving you, he kept saying, "Hit me, 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 me." Like the apology was supposed to be about you. You know who I'm talking about.
What's the hint I could give?
Chicago?
Continue.
In the apology, it was supposed to be about you, but it was about him. That's a red flag. You got to pay attention to what their intention are and literally read between the lines. Because now we all text all the time, right? Read between the lines. Well, if they're talking,
what are they not saying?
What are they not saying? Right.
It's not just what they're saying. It's what are they not
what are saying? They not saying? So.
And this is also a great exercise for us. Those of us who feel like we have a healthy dose of narcissism within our diets and, you know, to be very conscious about how we are representing in an exchange and especially a romantic exchange or in a familial exchange, because, you know, you find yourself in these moments where you have to make sure that you're not coming across that way.
Yeah.
Like you're and so the way to me to do that is to make sure that you are being conscious of someone else's feelings. You're leaving space for critique from someone else because that is another red flag. They cannot be critiqued.
No. It's very defensive. When if there's any type of criticism, that's a huge red flag.
They are unable to accept any type of criticism. And the reality
or blame.
And the reality is that they will only accept it if they themselves have been the one to bring it up. That I have noticed. If you're the one who's like, see this thing you did here? Nah. They're like, what? Then they may go like 2 weeks and come back and be like, so I was thinking, you know, that I could be better at da, 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 da. And you're like, so is this, but they're not acknowledging that you're the one
who
even inspired that.
Right.
They have made it that this is their thing that they have decided that they're going to do.
Yes.
And so there we've now named
love bombing. Never taking blame and never saying, what was that thing? Right,
and making apologies about themselves.
Making apologies, but right. When it's supposed to be about you.
They center themselves.
Right.
And that's not just in apologies. That's in celebrations.
It's in everything.
Yes. If it's about you, they center themselves. And even if you are in a place of crisis and they come to your aid, it's still
about them.
About them.
For sure. They want to be the hero. They want to somehow come out on the end where it's like where they have to be getting all the validation, everything, all the time. That's what it's about 100% of the time with narcissists is attention, attention, attention. Everything they do is for attention and validation. Just know, if you take nothing away, just know that. Dangerous people. Oh, and you said they can't take criticism. That was the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, criticism or blame. So the question was, how can a person cope with narcissistic family members? Boundaries
for sure.
And it's super duper hard, especially if you're a mom. Like I have people who are like, you know, my mom is a narcissist. And it's like, yeah, that's rough because you want to be able to engage with them across the board. But you have to instead implement a certain level of boundaries, not for them, for you. So that you're not disappointed.
Absolutely.
So that you have a clear understanding of like how to manage. But everyone has like mom shit or dad shit or brother shit or trauma shit. And so you just kind of decide, well, I'm going to just deal with it. However, but the reality is that all of us are managing people in our lives that we love, but that may not do behaviors that we love. And so how do you handle that? You have to figure out what your boundaries are, what you can manage, and you got to stick to it. And I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, because you're innately going to be like, this is a relative who's close to me. So you're going to want to go back to those behaviors because they're comforting to you. And you're like, this is a person that I should be able to trust and be able to confide in. But they're going to use that against you. And so you have to, like you said, boundaries and just know that you can't go deeper with these people. You just can't.
You just can't.
It's hard, but you can't.
And once you find this out, it is a new journey of self-discovery because then you now are looking at how their behaviors have reflected upon you. So then now you have to deal with your own reactions to that trauma and your own problems and issues that have come out of that. So it's not a turnkey thing. It's not just recognizing that you have a family member who's a narcissist. It's also then figuring out like, well, how have I been affected by this negatively?
Go to therapy.
And yeah, you got to go to therapy for it.
Because you're suffering some type of repercussions from it, whether you're aware of it or not. Like, you are. It's just, we all are. And whether you're dealing with a narcissist family member or not, we're dealing with stuff that we are completely unaware of. Our behaviors are all because of, from our childhood. So going to therapy, whether or not you had a narcissistic parent, I recommend for everybody.
Someone asks, you know, can you be friends with a narcissist?
No. Superficial friendship. That's it.
That's it.
You can't go deeper. You can, like I said, you can go and kick it, have fun, go to the club, whatever, but do not rely on that person. Do not depend on that person for anything, because it's not about you. It's about them. And again, whatever they do for you, it's really ultimately for them. So just don't necessarily trust that person. You can't.
I had somebody who I'm still on the fence about if they're a narcissist or not, but they were like, you know, I just really love being able to give people raises and like being able to see the excitement on their face when I gave them something that they didn't expect coming. And at the time, I was listening to it and it felt like it was like a positive thing.
Altruistic?
Yeah, it felt altruistic. But then after a series of our own interactions, I've come to feel like, you know what? That's not really where that was coming from. That's a certain... That's about them and ego and, you
know.
Look
what I've done for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They want praise all the time.
And watching the person just exult at what they have done for them.
It's so tricky. Yes, you don't know a lot. And if you're not really cool with these people, then, you know, you're not. If you have a boss or somebody that does that, and you know what, that's not that big of a deal because you're not in an intimate relationship. But when you take it to another level of this is someone you're dating and you think about like, oh,
and they're
my.
In your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. Do you think narcissism should be treated like a mental illness in a way a lot of other things have been as of recent? Addiction, gambling, etc. That were once not, or like, nah. That's how they wrote it.
Or like, nah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a tricky one, and I think neither of us are healthcare professionals. So
speak for yourself. Like, I call myself a healer.
I mean, granted, I was trained at the Grey's Anatomy School of Medicine. However, it is a fact that we definitely are coming from more of an experiential background than a licensed psychotherapist, physician background.
Yeah.
That being said, from the research that both of us have done, even though it is a disorder, it is not treatable.
It is not.
So you can't treat it like mental illness where you can at least put people on certain meds or homeopathic remedies or behavioral changes, because the hallmark of a narcissist is that they don't think there's anything wrong. You can't change what you don't recognize.
Correct.
So I remember when Tyrese was putting his narcissism on full blast, and doing the manipulation game with emotions. Mm-hmm. And people were like, Amanda, you're so mean. He is, you know, narcissism is a mental illness and it should be treated like that. And I'm like, even if you want to have the objective and merciful, you know, thought process of saying this is someone who is hurting, it doesn't mean that you have to allow them to hurt you.
Correct.
Like, you can acknowledge and say that is somebody who is a narcissist and it's unfortunate for them, because at the root of narcissism is not it even though it's about like, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get favor for myself, at its bottom, it's really about hating yourself.
For sure.
That's really what it is. So you're doing all of these things to truly mask the actual hate you have for yourself with this pseudo love.
Yep.
That you're building up from outside sources.
Yep.
And I mean, so there is a certain pity that I have on that person, but that doesn't mean that I have to allow myself to, one, be in the line of fire, and two, let them not be held accountable for how those problematic behaviors are affecting other people.
Right. And the only way that you can deal with it is to really, again, with the boundaries and or just cutting them off, cut the toxic person out of your life.
That block on the phone.
Yeah.
That has been, thank goodness we learned about narcissists at the same time that we had the technology to block people from calling you.
I think that's why the person who invented it. They dealt with a toxic person, was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, I got to cut
it. And I got to share the love. But yeah, narcissists are the most insecure people in the world, but they put on a grandiose, you know.
Oh my gosh. Exteriors.
Right, for sure. So yeah, they pretend to be all about, but they cower when they look at themselves because when they see their true selves, because whatever abuse they suffered as a kid is what made them that insecure person and turned them into a monster. So now they have to pretend that they're the greatest thing. And people buy into it all the time. Some of the most successful people in the world are these types of people. Because they have the way they manipulate, and they can get things very quickly and get to high levels of power. Our president is a perfect example of this. Offset, Cardi B, when he interrupted her performance to make that all. You don't make someone else's time to shine about you. That's a huge red flag.
1,000%. I mean, I definitely feel like there's been times where I have a certain thing about me where I can make people feel comfortable enough to like show glimpses, you know, and then they close back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had two narcissists say to me you make me show too much of myself. And so I can't like fuck with you.
Okay.
I had one in particular say to me like, you're a mirror that reveals parts of myself that I don't like. And so I need to not be with you.
Was this the guy that didn't want mirrors in his apartment?
Correct.
That's why he doesn't like mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
He has to look at himself.
Which is ironic because...
Because that's what narcissists like doing normally, is admiring themselves. But sometimes, I tell you, that reflection ain't good. When they can see too far into themselves and that, they can't handle it. That's why they avoid it. And they build up this facade and this exterior that they won't have to look at the inside because it hurts too much. They live in a fantasy world. That they built. And if you try to get in that, whoo, get out. Get out.
Get out.
They're the worst. But yeah, there's no treatment. It's a full-on personality disorder. There is a spectrum. Let's say now on a scale of 1 to 10, you could have, you know, again, like us, we're in this industry, so we do have a healthy amount of narcissism. But I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, a manageable, maybe a 3, maybe a 4. We're talking about full-blown 10s out here in these streets. In these streets. Right. So, and
like people love to be like, Amanda, you're a narcissist because no one can tell you wrong. And I was like, that's incorrect.
That's not true. We've had so many conversations.
So, there you go.
Right. No.
Well, that brings me to our next segment. People I like.
Is one here? Our guest for the day. Candace, your ex-boyfriend who's a narcissist. Welcome. Oh, how did you know it?
Can you imagine if he just came through the door like, doof?
I would love that, first of all.
I'm here, bitches.
You know I love confrontation. You know. I wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a mother... That's the name of your special.
I wish a motherfucker would. I have so many specials. Haven't shot any of them, but I have so many titles.
What's my favorite title?
I'm a very busy man. That's going to be my first special, which I believe I'm going to shoot in not that long from now. But yes.
Good.
Yes.
I'm a very busy man. Which is...
A quote from a narcissist that I was not dating.
Because you saw the writing on the wall.
I saw it immediately just through text message exchanges. Immediately. I was like, oh, he wanted me to come over. And I said, no, I'm tired. I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And his response back to me was, really? Yeah, okay, ma. You know, I'm a very busy man.
Yeah. The best ever.
And then tried to guilt me into coming over and making it sound as if he's the only busy one, as if I can't have a life. Me doing what I need to do and this is someone who's established. Like, if I said his name, y'all be like, oh shit. Should I? No,
there's
I won't.
So many times on this podcast where I'm like, I should say his name. I should.
Just so, well, number one, just so other people are aware.
That's always that's, the reason why I want to say names.
That's all you want is to protect somebody else. That's when it. This happens to you, you just want to go out and scream in the streets.
That's why I say Tajay's name every time.
Stay away from this motherfucker. That's really all we're doing. But you see what happens when somebody, especially a woman of color, comes out and says, this black man did this to me.
Oh, my God. You are trying to ruin the whole black male race. You are tearing black men down.
You just
forget
to tear
the fact that this man tried to tear up your life.
Right.
They're like, that's irrelevant.
That doesn't matter. What he's just trying to do his thing. So who cares if you were a casualty along the way? I'm not the only casualty. These dudes
Listen,
are here destroying
I told
lives.
A story about a narcissist on this podcast. I didn't even say this man's name, and I've had now 7 different women come back to me through various means: Twitter,
can you tell
Instagram,
me who was, because I think I might be dating him.
I mean, I literally didn't even say his name. I just said a couple like
and
factors.
They knew who you were talking about.
They knew. They said his name. They came in my DMs and said his name and said, this is somebody, you said that you had an inclination that this person was an asshole. I will confirm for you that this man is an asshole. I had this dealing with him. People all having individual dealings with him. One woman said that he had opened the door while he was, he had opened the door naked when it was her first date with him. And then he tried to tell her that she was the one who was bugging for saying that that wasn't cool. Another woman said that her friend went over to meet him to go out to dinner, and when she got there, he was there in the apartment just lying on the couch or lying on his bed and was like, you know, just talking to her from the bed. Like, we're supposed to go out, and he just was like lying in the bed talking, and she's like, all right, well, I guess I'm gonna go. And he at no point got up to like open the door, nothing. Like, this is women who have been like, just from my saying these couple little—
And they knew immediately who
he
was.
They knew immediately who he was. And they're all like, he is a predator. He is a problem. And low key, I almost feel like I am doing a disservice by not saying his name.
God. Because what do you, no one's going to believe you.
But we also live in such a litigious society, you know, where like you know, people love to come with all types of litigation
sure.
and whatnot.
But, for sure.
But I say all this to say that this segment is called People I Like.
Oh, yes. Yes. As we're talking about people we don't like.
Exactly. Candace is a comedian and was one of the first comedians I met when I moved out here to Los Angeles. We met at a Mexican restaurant for dinner, and the woman who was the hostess was definitely trying to try me. Okay? She had an attitude, and I was like, am I an attitude? And Candace, who had not known me for longer than 10 minutes, well, we had met, but we hadn't, like, this is literally just, like, adults being like, let's go out and become friends.
Yes.
And Candace was like, the fuck? And we've been friends ever since.
We have, and we've had many of those moments.
Where we're both like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I was telling you this the other day, and I will say it in public, it's like, you just want to feel like somebody has your back. And I know for me as an only child, that's like a huge thing because I didn't have sisters right. who were like, you know, or brothers that were just like ride or die. So I was always very pressed about like, I want to have a best friend. I want to have a best friend. I want to have somebody that's going to have my back. I want to have a best friend. And so especially now with like the leveling up in terms of like the visibility and whatnot, like trusting people and having people who are reliable is like such a rare thing. And I will say like at the very, like there's been absolutely several times where I have been like, what? And Candace has been like, what? And you're like, yeah.
I fucks with you.
And I just know, especially in this town, like people are so pressed about everybody liking them and being polite. And I've had scenarios where, like, someone was shitty to me. And I'm not saying you got to go be shitty to this person, but I've had people go out of their way to let that person know, yeah, Amanda doesn't fuck with you, but I do.
Right.
And you're just like, why is that even necessary? Like, right. That's you just really trying to, like, create a hierarchy or, like, a separation where there doesn't need to be. So on a personal level, I love you for that. But on a professional level, I love you for being a comic who, listen, Candace is telling jokes. that motherfuckers are not telling. Candace is keeping it all the way 100 in ways that are making you uncomfortable. Y'all know that's my favorite shit of all time. And the reality is that as Black women comedians, for a lot of us, we have just seen only one type of Black woman comedy for so long. And so there is this like this wave of us who's coming through like a tsunami with different content, different perspectives, different points of view. And sticking to that is the hardest part, I think, because it's very tempting to try to like shift to be more amenable, and you don't do that.
Well, I must say, Amanda, the narcissist in me is loving this segment. Go on. Man's
but
thank
but
you.
Speaking
thank
of
you.
Narcissism, though, like both of us have narcissism within us, but both of us have had to be 100 with each other and like say like, okay, well, I didn't like this or I didn't like that or this may be uncomfortable. And first of all, just as friends, you need to be able to do that.
Yes.
As adults and grownups, you need to be able to do that. But you can tell the difference, I think, with someone being a narcissist and not when they can receive that and not make it personal as much as it's like someone just letting you know, like, this didn't work for me, and you're able to have a conversation. And
I care about you enough to listen to what you're saying and fix it.
Yes.
Because I made you feel some type of way that I did not intend.
Or because, let's be real, I'm the sensitive one, so every situation has been me.
I mean, I'm sensitive too, but yeah, no, we're artists, right? So it's like I think most artists, if you're a true artist, you are sensitive, and that's why we're here.
Right.
But we need, because we're affected by certain things and we have to speak on it, right? Because it made us feel some way, and we're like, oh, I can't let this continue.
So Jordan Carlos was telling me, he was like, as a comic, that's like a real like cornerstone for us, that we feel like we have to, everyone in the conversation has to be on the same page. And when they're not, when we're not on the same page, that it is just incensing. And I was like, that's so true. Because yeah. Like, if I feel like someone is not understanding what I'm saying, I'm just like, I'm distraught.
Yeah. What are you talking about? This is the, you don't feel the same way. You sound like a crazy person. It's really, that's how passionate we are.
You mean you don't have the exact same response to this as me?
As me?
What?
You're right. Right. Yeah, no.
You need to do some research.
It's absurd. Yeah.
People were like, some people were like, Jennifer Lopez's performance was great. And I was like, I need you to get better standards.
I lost 300 followers of what I said on
so
Instagram.
Actually, you did not. So I thought, I lost 20,000 followers.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I guess that's what telling the truth do.
What was it?
So basically, Instagram did a purge
of bots and shit.
Oh,
they do that regularly.
But apparently, our numbers will be restored.
Oh, how?
Apparently, our numbers will be restored.
Okay. Give them those bots back. I don't care. So, I don't care. But yeah, no, I saw that. I was like, 300? And it literally was the day that I went on that rant about J-Lo and how that was just not a good choice. Not that she didn't. She we know she can dance. That's fine. But why is she salsa-ing during a Motown?
Why and is she salsa-ing during a Motown? She was lip-syncing?
She was lip-syncing. That is a fact. I noticed that within me and Justin. I was watching Justin Martindale. He was like, she's lip syncing. But I did get a lot of pushback from what I was saying.
People were like, she's black. I'm like, when?
She's never even said she was black. What are we talking about?
When?
What are we talking about?
And why can't we have a distinction between race and culture? She does not identify as a Black American or one who is about Black culture.
Said
never.
She was black.
She did a hip hop song or two.
That's why I said
that Ashanti sang.
Diddy for 3 years in the late 90s does not make you black.
Absolutely not. You were a Puerto Rican woman dating Diddy, but you never acknowledged yourself as Afro Latina.
No.
Never.
Never has she claimed that. Never.
She's from the Bronx. People are fooled by the rocks that she's got. She was on the Six. Get money. She's from the block.
Yeah, I understand why it's a little confusing.
But she also was
I understand why you might conflate the two. But
never forget Bennifer.
Never. Never.
Okay.
That's what Gigli forever.
Ah!
Gigli. That's all you gotta. Whenever you think maybe she's black, Geely.
Facts.
Because I came on and said I had a whole list of people that could have done a much better job. And
people that were there.
Right.
Literally that were there.
Janelle Monáe. Like, I was like, well, I was like Fantasia, not part. I was like, I wish Alicia Keys could have done it. Like,
it was all there.
She did her own performance. That could have been her performance.
Listen.
I don't understand. I got into a whole thing because I said, I was like, even Mariah could. And they were like, she's blacker than Mariah. I said, first of all.
Stop it.
I
had to. Mariah is a whole nigga, and that's the other thing that people don't know.
I posted. I said for all the people that are on my comments talking about Mariah is, or J-Lo is more black than Mariah.
Disrespectful.
This is all I have to say. And then I posted her performance in front of the black choir when she did Joy to the World in a black church. Could J-Lo? No! What are you talking? And also, she is, her Mariah's father is black and black Venezuelan. Black. Black. There's black in there. There's black. Both of his parents were some type of black. All right?
But also, no.
Also, no. Also, no. Stop being ridiculous.
Well, thank you for not being ridiculous.
You're welcome.
And it is a gift to have a friend and a professional relationship that goes through ebbs and flows, but that forces growth.
Yes.
And change. And has a lot of education because of your YouTube videos.
Look, man, I'm a work in progress. And this is what I don't understand is that the only thing that I have done my whole entire life, aside from like telling jokes, because that's the only thing I can think of that I've done since I was a kid, is like just try and be a better person.
Yeah.
I've always been on a quest of self-betterment. And it blows my mind how many people that is just not even on their list of things to do.
It's not. They're like, I gotta go return these tapes.
When you challenge people and they just be like, peace, I can't handle this. What are you talking? And that's most of my relationships have ended because I've challenged people.
That's all of my relationships.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, so you just don't want to do better. Okay.
I had this conversation with my really good friend the other night, and he was like, well, at least they're being honest. And I was like, first of all, I need to stop giving so much credit to basic, like, human decency.
Why are we here on Earth if we're not?
And then he was like, well, you know, but they're being honest with themselves. And I was like, but it doesn't change the fact that they're trash. If you're honest and you're like, I'm a pedophile, that's still trash.
That's still, you're honest, but
you're a dumpster fire. Like, that's trash. I need you to go over here and be over here.
Right.
You can't be over here with these
right.
kids.
That's not
we're
going
to get you a bunch of kittens now because you're going to fuck with the kittens. I just need you to
be over
here. Now I
trust you with my cats. Now look where we are. Right? That doesn't stop there. The realization, that's the first step. Now what? You got to finish the journey. You know, now what? Do better.
When you choose to not do better, it's not an example of honesty. To me, that is actually a hallmark of narcissistic behavior. And someone has done you a favor by walking away from you. Turn around and walk the other way, your damn self.
Yep.
That one time.
Can we really quickly talk about the time where I told you about someone that I was seeing and what they said to me via text, and then you brought them up on stage?
Oh, this is one of our favorite stories of all time.
This is one of the best we don't let these nigga live stories.
Correct.
Ever. So I was seeing a guy who was for sure a narcissist.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
But you know what? We never really know in the beginning because they
know.
Do all the right things. They take you out. They give you gifts. They compliment you. So it's like they're playing with the same rule book as a good dude.
Yep. They're building that trust so they can manipulate you. So this dude, one of the fucked up things he said to me was he doesn't listen to songs that are sung by women.
Yo. Direct quote.
Direct. It's a quote. He was getting out of my car and Amy Winehouse came on. And I was like, oh, I love this song. He goes, I've never heard it. And I said,
lying ass.
What are you talking about? Because it wasn't even like,
with your face ass, lying ass, right. Get out of here.
And it wasn't even like a song from her first album, which
it wasn't
you may or may
B-side.
Not have heard.
Yeah.
Right. It was from her, the best, you know, she only had two albums. Anyway, so I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, I don't listen to songs that are sung by women.
Every time
to
I
my
hear
face.
It, Every time I hear it, I'm just like, "Who? What are we doing?"
To my face,
what
he said
are
it.
We talking about?
But the level of, you know, unself-awareness to say conviction. That in front of a woman.
Conviction.
You're crazy, right? So then he texts, and right then I was like, oh, this ain't gonna work. I was like, this isn't gonna work. So, but then, like, I didn't end it like then because I knew. I was like, let's just have a little bit more fun with interactions so I can use this on stage, right?
That's always what it gets ends up at.
Yeah, I gotta just keep playing with this because you never know material. So we were texting one day and he was like, I'm about to get another motorcycle. And I was like, and I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan of motorcycles.
Me neither.
I will never date somebody. Just it's a deal breaker for me because I worry and I don't. I think there's a recklessness that's involved with that because, you know, like you could die in a car accident and that has doors, right? So this is a level of, you don't care about yourself that much. So I was like, okay, that's a deal breaker. But he knew that. And then he was like, I'm getting another one. I just got approved. And I wrote back credit wise. He was like, I just got approved. And I said, well, not by me. As a joke, obviously. And then he goes, this is a quote. I am a loose cannon comic who doesn't play by the rules.
I feel like Slash came in and started like the guitar solo from Amazing at that point.
In his head, it was playing. In his head, that was playing. So he texts that to me, which I still have the screenshot of course, because I keeps receipts.
Ditto.
And so I wrote back to him immediately, because we don't let these niggas live.
Correct.
I wrote back, is that the log line for your pilot?
It gets me every time.
Also, I couldn't stop. So after I wrote that, I said, also, motorcycles are very legal. You're not breaking any rules.
Zero.
None. It's very easy to acquire motorcycles. Actually, I can do it right now. I have it in 3 hours.
I have time.
So then I told Amanda the story. And at the time, she was about to book a comic on her Smart, Funny, and Black live show.
Yep.
And she goes, I'm going to book him just so I can bring him up to the stage with that. So she did. And I witnessed the whole entire thing. She was like, I've never even seen his stand up. She's like, I don't even know if he's funny, but I'm just going to book him anyway just so I can bring him up
to
that.
This is friendship is what this is.
It was. And I was like, I knew. I was like, I love Amanda so much. I was like, she's doing this. And she did. She called him up. She goes, this next guy is
this next guy that's coming to the stage.
Is a loose cannon comic who doesn't play by the rules.
I think the best part is that he didn't seem to realize.
He's not self-aware. He don't even remember texting that to me. He has no idea. He has no idea.
Like,
meanwhile, I'm in the back screaming.
And to add insult to injury, since my audience was 80% black women, he bombed.
Of course.
Because...
Oh, this is a black man. I didn't say he's black, but he's black.
This is a full-ass black man who wears a flat top.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like he's, like, out here trying to be, like, a toast to light-skinned children. No.
Yep. And then blame the audience when he bombed.
Yes, he did.
He didn't finish his time. He, like, got off the stage early. He wasn't even lit yet. He got off the stage early because he wasn't doing well. Came out to the crowd and was like... Black women don't like me. They don't think I'm funny. And I'm like, he gonna blame the audience. Now, also back to We Don't Let These Niggas Live. When he also texted to me like the next day, I said something about his set. And then he said, black women just don't like me. And I was like, maybe it's because they know you date white women.
Anxiety emoji. Anxiety
emoji.
And
he said, I don't feel guilty about that. And I said, you should.
Just
we don't let these niggas live.
You know, it's like you shouldn't feel guilty if you're equal opportunity.
For sure.
But when you like are making a cognizant decision to say like black women don't like me, that's deeper.
For sure.
That's definitely you not liking black women.
Yeah. And there's a and I think what's even deeper than that is there's a self-hatred that is involved with that. Like if you exclusively don't date what you are?
Because you're hella light-skinned, I feel like he could lie to himself.
He could, but he can't.
But that's why you didn't work.
Right.
Because you're a full nigga.
Right. I was about to say, I'm so black. I'm a, you know, the light, we the most militant ones.
I say this every time.
Yeah.
Because we are battling MASA from the inside out. We still have to deal with effects of MASA on a daily basis. We get sunburned.
Facts.
The last dose.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everybody who does not identify as either or, thank you so much for sticking through this journey that we went on today. This is the topic that you, it's like, you got to try and keep it up because it can get so heavy and it can get so just dense. And
it's a lot.
I think for the most part, a lot of our conversation today has been about our own experiences and having to navigate them and figuring out how to navigate them and get out from under them. And I know a lot of you all are listening and realizing, like, maybe I need to go more, do more research on narcissists and how I could possibly be being affected by one or two, or, you know, maybe my kid is becoming one and I need to nip that in the bud, et cetera. The reality, though, is that what we have to always remember is that we do have control of our surroundings, for the most part, and that we do have agency. And what a narcissist does, it makes you feel like you don't have agency.
That is huge. If you ever feel like you've lost control and you're not safe, like you just have to walk on eggshells around somebody, yes, and you're just that person has complete power over you. Like, yep, that is a huge, if you are in a relationship right now and that is how you feel, you are probably in an emotionally abusive relationship with a narcissist.
It's really the facts. You know, a lot of people, feel like, oh, you know, I don't want nobody like stealing my time, but you don't want people stealing your clarity.
Oof.
And that's the key. It's having the clarity and being able to be sure about what's going on. When people start misusing that or shifting that and they're not being clear, and it starts creating this psychosis in your own self of like, wait, what is what? And now you're like, wait, is this, are we still in a dream? Where's my totem? Oh my God. Wait, I don't know. It's the end of... It's the end of Inception. I don't know if Leonardo is alive or not.
If you feel like that,
get out.
It is.
Thank you, Candace, for chilling with us.
Thanks
and for sharing
me.
Your information. Listeners, please tell a friend when you see somebody who behaves a certain way or is acting a certain way, you know, at the threat of being called the crazy girlfriend or the crazy ex, because that's some other shit that narcissists do, they will 100% label you crazy for simply being real about
feeling.
Their fuckery.
Right.
That being said, may the force be with you.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.